Roger Radio program. It's 503-733-2970. It is Monday. It's 503-733-2970. I swear to God, every time Tim moves, it's like he's crawling. It's like he's crawling the last few miles of the Bataan Death March.
Oh, man.
Man, but I tell him, let's all take a moment to just recognize, as the young people say, how fantastic I sound. Let's hear it for me.
I've always wanted to sound just like that.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
No, thank you.
I think we're all more enamored with our own voices.
It's true.
And I love this thing. It's all, like, stretchy and I can move it. Never mind.
Hello.
503. What kind of a program is this?
503-733-2970. Our first day, which I'm sure isn't patently obvious to everyone. Our first day in the new Rick Emerson Studios East. Should I pick up Jeff here for a moment?
Let's see if he's there.
All right. Hey, Jeff McGinley.
Hey.
Hey, how you doing, brother?
Okay.
I'm hearing a little bit of echo, but I think it might be on the cell phone.
Yeah.
I think it might be on the phone. I don't think it's on the radio. Yeah.
Can you be on the phone?
All right. Yeah. Sounds.
But no flatback.
No. Sounds good. It's a little bit of echo, but I think that's cell phone echo.
I'm also against nearly another radios over here at Third Avenue weeping because you left the building.
Thank you. Is Smokey there? Is he crying like a small child?
No, he has the
No, John Paul's in the couple studio.
Oh, really? You know why? That's because Smokey's at home. He's Smokey's at home drowning his sorrows in Yukon Jack. All right. Thank you.
Holding his woody.
Yes. Thank you, sir.
All right, I think we're done.
Fantastic. All right. There's Jeff McGinley.
All right.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Brian Jones.
Thanks, friend.
Thank you. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's 503-733-2970. I would like to recommend to CBS Radio Management and Marketing right now that first hour be excerpted and be scoped down for a composite to be sent to all prospective clients right now, this very moment. Don't wait another day. It's 503-733-2970, or you can email rick@rickemerson.com. I believe we actually have the ability to take phone calls here, so we may take some of those here in a skosh, as our Asian friends say. And then we'll get to the Ministry of Truth and the news here in just a moment. Rick, your show is twice as good now that we hear everything twice. Ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth, he is your president, your prophet, your personal seer and revelator. He's Tim Riley.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
It's the most excitement ever in Scappoose as a boathouse is on fire. This is a tool armor.
Excellent.
Thick plumes of smoke. And as I was reading, the computer just died.
The best part?
Okay. Fade to black.
Have you tried moving the mouse?
I have.
Have you pushed a button?
Let me see here.
You tried rebooting the computer, sir.
Okay, let's try
to move the mouse.
Well, let me tell you. There's been an explosion and fire in a boathouse in Scappoose.
The best part... No, let me just interrupt for a second. The very best part about your... about your screen dying as you were reading, is it happened literally 4 seconds after the final engineer walked out of the studio.
I noticed that.
I was like, well, your problems are solved. I'm going home to drink. And then as soon as the door was shut, I looked over because I can see in your eyeglasses the reflection of your screen. And I looked over just in time to see it just go dark as soon as Brian left the studio. Fantastic. All right.
It's just one of those things. Every so often, a boathouse gets set on fire, and it is in Scappoose.
Scappoose needs that kind of thing every now and again, though. You know what I mean? It's kind of like how every now and again you should just turn your computer off and restart it. Everything in Scappoose just needs to be burned down, you know, every now and again.
So it happened in the marina.
All right.
Anyway, a speeding car slammed into a clock of his house this morning at 3 o'clock in the morning. Talk about a rude awakening. This is a Volkswagen Jetta, and it may have been stolen. The driver was driving 110 miles an hour. And just as they were trying to pull the guy out, the paramedics, the car burst into flames.
Fantastic.
He's okay.
Where?
Clackamas.
All right. Excellent.
Yeah. Anyway, getting back to the boathouse again. Now that my screen is back, this is at McKinney's Landing Marina. And there's also a report of an explosion. The area is full of fuel.
Wait, is this a different fire than before?
No,
is everything on fire?
No, this is a Scappoose fire.
All right, so there's something on fire in Scappoose. There was something on fire in Clackamas.
Somebody's car.
All right, excellent.
Then Bill Clinton is coming to Portland to speak about international affairs. Not the domestic ones he's familiar with.
Ah!
The address is scheduled for April 17th. The former president will anchor the World Affairs Council of Oregon's 2007 International Speaker Series. He is one of four speakers who is about to speak. Somebody from the... The president of Liberia is going to be here. Well, how did we ever get her? She must have been very busy.
I don't know.
But she's going to stop by. And she's going to talk about building democracy in Africa since it's worked so well there. Also, Hillary Clinton, we're going to go to the sound bites. Are we ready for these?
Taking our lives in our hands. Wait, hold on a second here.
We can talk about the boathouse on fire.
We can hear my own voice redouble itself on the air several more times if we'd like. All right, we're going to be playing
Kleenex.
We're going to be... I wouldn't touch that Kleenex. Okay, don't touch any stray tissues that...
It has not been used yet.
That's filled with nose goo. You don't want to touch that.
Oh, my gosh.
I
haven't used it. That's new.
Okay. All right. This is a real... By the way,
we can all see each other.
Hey, this is freaking me out. And it's not like an apology so much as it is just like it.
You can see the look of fear on everyone's faces as you force your head here into the unknown.
I was going to say, just as an explanation, that we are in this studio, which... I mean, I think we're really terrified of just how much space there is in this room. I'll be glad when Clyde gets here. It'll seem a lot more full then. This studio, I don't mean to sound as though we don't love the new studio, because we do. I mean, it's fantastic. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful. It is like, imagine that you spent about a year at your job in a cubicle, and then they suddenly gave you, like, the boss's corner office with a window. That's what this is like. But the analogy I always use for this is it's like... this is just like Morgan Freeman being released out of Shawshank and just walking around terrified of, and all I think about is how I can get sent back. And then just walking around terrified of all the space in here. So, I mean, we're used to being in a room that is functionally the size of a phone booth. And so now we've got all of this room, we've got all this counter space, we've all got our own computers, and it's just a little terrifying. We can all see each other. We're afraid to move. And even that, right now, as I'm speaking to you, I'm looking down and realizing that I am clutching for dear life. My hand has gone white. It's all rigidly grabbing the edge of the countertop. Because we're just, because we're so overwhelmed with fear in this new studio. Which we love, by the way. All right, are we playing sound bites?
Yeah, first
we're going to try.
We want to lay any sort of odds on whether this is going to work.
First, we should talk about what the sound bite consists of. So who might be speaking?
Who is this sound bite?
Well, did anybody watch Hillary Clinton, her big speech on C-SPAN?
No.
When she was in Iowa?
No.
Well, she looked like she was wearing a lion tamer's outfit. A lion tamer without the whip.
Oh, is this the,
She's talking to the high school kids.
Is this the speech where she talked about her experience dealing with, quote, evil men?
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. No, I read about it on Drudge. I didn't see it, though.
It was right after Prime Minister's Question Time last night on CNN.
Let's talk for a moment about how much makeup Hillary Clinton wears, though.
Mm-hmm.
Hillary Clinton, there are a lot of women, what is the phrase? There are a lot of women that are fresh-faced. And there are a lot of women who don't need to wear a lot of makeup. They just wear something very, very subtle. There are women who... wear maybe very pronounced makeup, I don't need to. And then there are women, clearly, that need to. I believe Hillary Clinton falls into the last category. Because you see her sometimes, and I mean, I just take it as an article of faith that anybody on television who is in any type of show business, and I do include politics under the show business umbrella, I just take it as an article of faith that they are just made up to the nines. And so, like with the high-definition television, sometimes you see somebody, there's usually a woman who is very heavily made up, but you can still see, the ravages of age and time. And so then you just start to wonder, what does she look like without the makeup? That's Hillary Clinton, because I got to tell you, man, they're putting about 15 pounds of spackle on her every morning, and she's still got, for example, the most prominent crow's feet I have ever seen. I mean, she looks like some...
Scotty J-wise? Scotty J's got some of that going
on. Yes, he does.
He looks like Hillary Clinton.
Scotty J is Hillary Clinton.
He kind of does, actually. And Scotty J has got the lines from years of laughter and also drinking around his face. But Hillary Clinton, she's got a bit of a, what one might charitably refer to as a rugged look. About her. Anyway, all right, so here, this is Hillary Clinton.
So, she admitted that she voted to give the president the authority to figure out if there were weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. However, she stated it wasn't meant to be permission to take the U.S. into war.
He took the authority that I and others gave him, and he misused it. And I regret that deeply. And if we had known then what we know now, there never would have been a vote, and I never would have voted to give this president that authority.
You hear right there.
Oh,
okay.
Wow.
First of all, somebody sounds a little angry. Second of all, you can hear right there.
You got a lot of gumption.
Yeah, that's a lot of gusto. You can hear her
That is her attempting to sort of spackle over the seam, as it were, because she knows that people, and by people I mean Barack Obama, are going to go after her for voting for the war in Iraq. And that is her right there. That is preemptive, is what that is. She's trying to get rid of that question before it even comes on the table, because everybody is going to take her to task for that.
Hillary says she wants to end the Iraq war and bring the troops home.
I oppose this escalation. I think we should do everything possible to bring the Iraq war to the right end as soon as we can and bring our troops home.
All right. And Susie Bush's thing about the, because first he was the decider, and now he's not the decider. He's the decision maker.
Yes.
But he did effectively say that he's just going to sort of pass this along to the next 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 presidents. So you'll be dealing with this for years and years and decades to come. So don't. I mean, it's not anything that's going to be going away anytime soon.
So we'd like to give all the candidates a fair shot at speaking their stuff. There's Senator Sam Brownback.
No one knows who that is.
Well, he's a Republican from Kansas and says he's very pro-family.
I think we need to start talking about what we're for and not what we're against. And that resolution also contains a lot of the Baker-Hamilton type of thought and language about how we move to a political solution regionally inside Iraq and in the countries in the area, and also a political solution here.
Ah, that guy sounds creepy. Do you see that? What's his name? The who's that guy that I always say can never win? Mike Huckabee. Wasn't I just saying last week? Because the guy called up and he was talking about the name Barack Obama. And he was talking about how he thought the name Barack Obama was weird and Americans would never vote for a guy named Barack Obama. And what did I pull out of the hat? I said, just like that guy from Arkansas, former governor Mike Huckabee, and I only pick his name because it's the most ridiculous name in American politics. I use him. He is the gold standard for a guy that could never get elected, will never be elected to anything higher than a governorship. And it is simply and solely because of his name. And so what do I read this morning? Governor Mike Huckabee running for president. Not going to happen. Big waste of money. His family will die destitute. Your fault.
So then Senator Brownback, he's a tried and true conservative and 100% pro-life.
We've got to start getting people pulling together here, Republicans and Democrats, because you can't run a war with one party for it and one party against it, and we've got to win in Iraq.
All right, so the first key will be to get rid of dissent. All right, there you go.
All right. So I have another Republican that's also running. We talked about this guy last week. He is Duncan Hunter. He's from California. He believes Americans will give the president some time to let his new Iraq policy play out. He says Americans have lots of patience.
The point that I've tried to make to my colleagues in the House and Senate is this. This plan is being carried out right now. The idea that Congress is going to sit back and talk about cutting off reinforcements, that deserves the mission, and I think it deserves the soldiers that are over there.
Just take all the time in the world. Doesn't matter. No one cares. Just plunge on ahead relentlessly. All right. Is this Kristen on line one, Scotty? I can't tell if she was there or if she is there.
Would like to be there.
I can't really tell. You can just type on the screen. Yeah. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, welcome now to the Rick Emerson radio program. Our good friend Kristen from accounting.
Hello.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes, and...
Sounds like Nancy's trying to speak with you.
And I can hear myself again.
Again. Man. Again.
Well, I can't hear it over the phone, so that's a good sign.
All right. Fantastic. How's life, sister?
Well, I just wanted to be one of the first. As a longtime listener and sometime participant of the Rick Emerson Experience,
yes.
I wanted to congratulate you on your new dig.
It really is. It really is fantastic. You're going to have to come by and see it at some point. It's just...
I would love to. What you're describing sounds fantastic.
And we've worked at a whole series of studios before. I mean, we were at the cheese grater next door. It was a nice studio there. Intercom, despite their many flaws and fatalities, Intercom...
We talk about that.
No, they built us a nice, if somewhat sterile feeling studio. But this really is far and away kind of. And the only thing, and I shouldn't even give this away, but the only thing that's missing right now is this whole back wall, which you can't see. There's a back wall behind Sarah that is sort of it's kind of like a ceiling of a Costco. There's some exposed ductwork, and I believe there are going to be thick red velvet curtains that are going to go there.
We could put books in there to make us look more intelligent.
So you know what I mean. So
yes, and I was listening to when I was on hold. You know, your wonderful engineers were diligently working, trying to smooth out some of the bugs.
Yeah, I wonder how that's working out. Yeah.
Well, everybody sounds great. great. So I just wanted to call in and just give you my two cents that,
excellent.
You know, it, long deserved, and you guys are fantastic, and love you much.
Fantastic. All right.
Thanks, Kristen.
Thank you, Kristen. All right, there you go. Kristen from... and gone. By the way, Scotty is in charge of the phones today. Now, when I say in charge of the phones, I don't just mean screening them, as he always does.
He's in charge of no one taking the phone.
He actually... Scotty, we are over here at First Avenue in the new studio. Scotty is left behind at the Coin Tower. He's going to be there for about a week. So when you hear me go to a call today, or when I say, you know, we're going to talk to Bob, or, you know, whatever, that is all Scotty's doing. So he is he's the one that is hanging up on, picking up, putting on hold all of the calls. So if you hear things sort of happening abruptly, really what I'd like to just
it's a promotion.
Is nothing is our fault today. Today and for the foreseeable future, really nothing that happens is on our shoulders.
Well, that is more of an entry level job than what Scotty had before.
All right. It's 503-733-2970. Here is Tim Riley.
All right, let's go to B since A worked out very well.
Fantastic. I'm at Bank B right now.
Democratic Senator Joe Biden says he will announce this week his plans to run for president. He tells ABC's This Week he'll announce Wednesday that he is in the race.
The president's dug us in the deep hole. The president's foreign policy has made us more vulnerable. His economic policy has made the middle class more vulnerable. My life story, my record, best prepares me to deal with those two issues.
Here's the thing about Joe Biden. I don't know anything about him. I don't know what he does.
Delaware.
I don't know what he stands for. I don't know what he cares about. I don't know if he's good, bad, somewhere in the middle. The only thing I know about Joe Biden is he's a perpetual candidate. I remember being, Lisa Goddard was talking about...
Oh, like Pat Buchanan.
Yes. I am sitting right now. I know this is very exciting for everybody. I have been sitting. I believe that now I'm going to stand.
Oh, boy.
No, because in the other...
This is very exciting.
In the other studio, I had to stand because I couldn't sit. I've just been sitting for the first hour and 20 minutes of this program, not really because I wanted to. I typically do the show standing up anyway. But in the studio we've been for the last year, I couldn't have sat if I wanted. It was impossible because the counter was like...
There was no chair tall enough.
Yeah, the counter was like neck high at the old studio. So I was obligated, I was obliged to stand, as Mark Twain would say, whether I wanted to or not. So now I've just been sitting for about the last 90 minutes just for the sheer glory of it. I'm now going to stand. Let's all listen. I am now standing.
Yeah.
All right, anyway. So Lisa Goddard was talking to us last week, and we were talking about the Stephen Colbert thing and how they're not inviting Colbert back to the White House press corps lunch because dinner because he excoriated Bill George Bush last year. And I said, guess who they're having back? And I was talking about how Rich Little is the performer. But she guessed Mark Russell. Mark Russell was this guy who did it, probably still does. I mean, he's got to be 90 years old, but he probably still does this. He does a lot of sort of toothless, kind of Michael Reagan-esque the piano-based the musical political comedy on PBS. And I remember watching that guy with my dad when I was about 9 years old and him making Joe Biden jokes then. And that's like 25 years ago. That's all anybody knows about Joe. He's one of those guys. Where do they get the money? That's what I don't understand. He's one of those guys that just runs every 4 years.
He's from Delaware. And that's where Dow Chemical Company is located.
Does he get his money from? Is he independently wealthy?
Well, saying that.
This doesn't make any sense.
It's a very wealthy company.
Yeah. Anyway, I guess he's just one of those guys that's how he gets chicks, is he just runs for president every 4 years, and he just saves a scrapbook full of clippings, and then, you know, that gets him, you know, by for 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years, then he feels he has to run again. All right.
He says he's in it for the long run.
It comes down to a simple thing. This is a marathon. If people learn my story, learn my record, I think I can compete. The question is, can I raise the money? I think I need $20 million to get me into and through Iowa.
If you could raise $20 million, why would you run for anything? If you were, do you know how fast I would be out of this room if I could raise $2 million? If I could raise $1,000, I probably would just take the rest of the week off. I wouldn't even be here.
You would always be here.
If you have the ability, probably, but that's only because I'm lame and lifeless. I'm just saying, if you have the ability to raise $20 million, it seems like you really ought to just be sitting on the sands of Maui somewhere, just having a good snooze. That's what I do. All right, here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
And out for something new and excitingly different, it is time for Democracy on the March.
Ladies and gentlemen, yeah. Democracy on the March. Yeah. Monday. Well, the U.S. military has sold forbidden equipment at least to a half dozen countries and middlemen, including Iran and China.
I'm stunned.
Mm-hmm. They exploited a security clause in the defense surplus auctions. The sales include fighter jet parts and missile components. In one case, federal investigators said the contraband made it to Iran, a country the president branded part of the axis of evil. In that instance, a Pakistani arms broker, who was convicted of exporting U.S. military parts to Iran, resumed business after his release from prison. He purchased Chinook helicopter engine parts from Iran and a U.S. company. He also bought them from the Pentagon at a surplus sale, like a yard sale.
I don't understand how that... Is that like one of those Dennis Pitsenbarger auctions where he just takes you on a weekend and you go through and you put your name on things, and if you're the high bid, you get to take home like a MiG fighter plane or something?
I guess so.
A bag of plutonium?
So all these parts made it to Iran.
I don't understand... All right, well, whatever. Isn't it like the 15th time that we've been caught selling things to Iran? Things that are then later used to blow us into...
They're on clearance.
A little. Everything must go. Things that are then later used to blow us into little tiny pieces. I mean, I don't... They must be a good credit risk. Maybe they pay cash. I mean, I can't... It doesn't really... I don't understand what other possible reason there would be. It does seem like if you're looking down the list of... The possible people to sell things to. Like, I've got this big warehouse full of weapons. I can sell them to Canada. I can sell them to Greenland. I can send them to Iran. It really seems like they ought to be like your last choice. You really should have exhausted every other possibility before you start unloading a truck full of assault rifles into somebody with, what do I know?
All right. That is Democracy on the Mark.
There's your Democracy on the Mark for Monday. Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth. How's your voice holding up over there?
Wonderful.
Is that my Pilot pen that you're clutching in your fingers?
I'm not sure. I've had this one for a while.
Is that a black Pilot V5?
I'm trying to steal Tim's pen.
It is a black V5.
All right, yeah.
Precise.
Okay. That would be a yes, by the
way.
It's
extra fine.
Yes, it is. It's extra, as am I.
Is this yours?
It is. I was wondering.
Would you like it back?
I would indeed.
You're going to walk 50 paces over here to get it.
Seriously, I gotta walk like a mile over here to get it.
We'll wait.
I hope you don't. I hope you don't take any offense.
Not at all.
I'll leave you this ballpoint pen.
I cannot believe that you just took a sick man's pen. After heckling a homeless guy because you had headphones and his ears are full.
It's not a sick man's pen. It's my pen, which he was using. And now you know I have the utmost respect for him, but you also know that I'm particular about my... Here's the thing. I meant to go to celebrate. This is how lame I am. If you've ever sat around the house and just said... Do you ever do this where you sit around and you'll think of... I mean, not that we're... I mean, I guess we're known in some small, tiny way. I mean, we're not real celebrities. Nobody in radio is. But have you ever... Do you think of somebody who, I don't know, is sort of in the public eyes, somebody's an actor or some actual celebrity? Do you ever just sit and ask yourself, what are they doing right? Like, what is... what is Vince Vaughn doing at this very moment? Like, literally right now. And that's in the future. There's going to be some sort of magical ability that would give you this, where you can just go to, where you can just punch a button on your computer. Like, what is that guy who played Epstein on Welcome Back, Kotter doing at this very moment? And then it'll just show you. It'll pop up in a camera somewhere. So if you were sitting around yesterday wondering, I wonder what Rick Emerson is doing right now. I was sitting in my office planning to make a trip to the Office Depot or Office Max or Staples or whatever. I think only one of those exists anymore. I think a lot of them merged. There was Office Depot and Office Max and Staples, and I think now there's only one of them left. No one cares. The point is,
they both still exist.
What I'm saying is...
One just had a grand opening.
What I'm saying is this, is that some people celebrate with champagne, some people celebrate with they're going out to dinner, some people celebrate a momentous event with cards or a cake or ice cream or a gathering of some kind. I celebrate by buying myself office supplies, because I am just that tedious and uninteresting. So this was my reward yesterday for doing a bunch of work at the office and bringing a bunch of stuff over here, is I was going to go to the office supply store and buy myself a new box of Pilot V5 precise rolling ball extra fines. I wasn't able to do it, which is all the more damnable because I lost all of them. And so I've been having to do my whole show this morning with this regular ballpoint pen
Hello. I'm sorry. I just realized I'm getting the long stare from everybody. I'm particular
it's
about
the
pens.
News hour. You have your pen back.
This just in. That's news after a fashion. This just in. I'm boring and obsessive compulsive. Rick Emerson's life is small and filled with tedious minutiae. More at 11. I'm trying to take the strain off Tim's voice.
Thank you.
What I'm doing. Let's take a break. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Broadcasting from the brand new studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. This is the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Back after this. Amateur radio program at 503-733-2970. Rick, several people have mentioned this. Do you realize you compared your new studio to the space shuttle? The space shuttle, off of which things are constantly following, which blows up every now and again. We just killed numerous people so far. Great analogy. The engineering department must love you. Well, that's what I do. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. In mere seconds, Tim Riley rejoins us from the Ministry of Truth.
You don't know that. We don't know where he is.
I'm just bluffing. You're right. That is a stone-cold bluff is what that is. I don't know that he's coming back. I'm not even sure that Tim can hear us. We could just stare at the door and wait for him to appear.
I don't think he's coming.
Well, okay. 503-733-2970. Somebody will have to... that's not going to work either.
Okay, get Scotty to find him.
Scotty's a mile away. All right. If Tim does not appear in a moment, you may have to go down and tap him on the shoulder. Tim, I think he's just leaving the studio out of habit at this point. The new studio, this is our first day broadcasting from the new studio. You can. Thank you.
Okay. I can understand Simon the floor.
I didn't want to sit there like, can you go get Tim and have him come in? This is our first day broadcasting career, and Tim has spent about the last year having to prepare his news. I would say it's like a card table, but it's not even, that really is even, that's being too generous, because a card table has a lot of surface area. Not so much where Tim has been. So Tim has been doing his news from sort of an alcove where there was like a microwave and a water cooler and like a coffee maker and like 15 people wandering back and forth and just a whole lot of whatnot going on.
How you doing?
He's got a dedicated station here inside the studio. So, working at that studio for a year, which again, we have no real complaints about it because it was sort of ad hoc. They put it together, but it was sort of like swinging four or five bats in the on deck circle. You know what I mean? Now we're in here, and this as great as this studio is, it is made even more so perceptually by the fact that we were in such close quarters for about a year. At the Ministry of Truth, ladies and gentlemen, here's Tim Riley.
Well, let's go to the SAG Awards. And speaking of that, Helen Mirren gives props to American actors while accepting the award for Outstanding Female Actor in a made-for-television miniseries.
I love this award more than any other award. I think especially being a Brit, you know, I've always looked to American film actors to teach me how to do it, basically.
I have no idea who this woman is.
She's the Queen. In the movie The Queen. You haven't seen that one yet?
No.
You sure it's good?
No. I think there's like some double feature. I think it's that and the Borat or something. And it's playing at that thing. What is that thing on Hawthorne? It's like Hawthorne and 21st, something
what
like
are you
that.
Talking about?
There's that theater on Hawthorne. It's like Hawthorne and 21st. It's by the bike shop.
Apparently, oh, Cinemagic. Borat.
Is it Cinemagic? Mm-hmm. I've never been there. All right. Yeah, The Queen just seems like one of those things. The Queen seems like one of those things that I would go see for one of two reasons. My wife decided that we had to go. Mm-hmm. Or I wanted to see it so that I could see more cultured and cosmopolitan.
And the first is really the only thing that would really get me there. The second is that I don't think I would be able to fool anyone regardless. All right. I would like everybody to know now that I am now drinking water out of a Mix 107.5 squeezy bottle because I guess they wanted us to feel at home here. There are no glasses. So... There are
paper cups.
Does that lid
even fit the top of it?
No, it doesn't. It's just because I know that everybody's interested in the inner workings of the Rick Emerson radio program.
Yes.
So I went into the kitchen just now. I will say that the one thing here that's going to change is the coffee. I don't care if I have to pay for it out of my own pocket. The coffee here is going to change. But I go in there. There are no coffee mugs. There are no cups. They got the styrofoam things. So I forgot to bring my water bottle with me, so I open, and like all radio stations, you open the cupboard above the sink, and it is just a graveyard of bygone formats. Everything up there is from, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12 formats ago. This is a, you know, one of those squeezy bottle water things, and it says 106, it says 107.5, the 80s and more, and then there's a lid that is from a different format altogether. There's a lid that's from K-Lite, and none of them fit together. And I realize now as I'm drinking out of this, I have no idea if it was clean. I have no idea who might have been using this before, what manner of weekender might have had their filthy mouth wrapped around this straw that I'm using. So let's not think about that now. Let's just plunge on ahead with the news. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, I'm sure you've heard of Steve Carroll of The Office. He quotes the dictionary while accepting the Outstanding Ensemble in the Comedy Series Awards last night.
Webster's defines the word ensemble as follows. A complete costume of complimentary clothing and accessories. And even though this is not the right definition, I think it applies to our cast.
Mary Tyler Moore gets a rousing response from her former Mary Tyler Moore Show castmates prior to handing out an award.
You know, while they were saying your names, introducing you, I...
Oh, is that her talking?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's not somebody else?
The hand of time comes for us,
oh,
Rick Emerson.
Jesus. I don't know.
She still looks like the way she did in the Dick Van Dyke Show.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm going to just ask her not to talk then. That's it. Did you hear about halfway through? She goes, ah! She goes, what is it with old people and the inability to control their vocal cords? It's something where it's, I don't know, man. You have to be about 65 and suddenly all your pitch control goes crazy. And you turn into the squeaky voice teen for The Simpsons. All right, well, let's all just buckle down and grit our teeth and get through this.
You know, while they were saying your names, introducing you, I just couldn't resist the urge to sing a chorus of Hail, Hail, the Gang's All Here.
I don't understand.
That made me embarrassed for some reason.
Is she putting on an old woman voice? How old is Mary Tyler Moore?
Oh, she's got to be in her... she was born in the 30s, probably mid-30s.
Is that true?
I would imagine. Yeah.
Really?
Uh-huh.
She's 70-something years old?
I would imagine so, yes.
Well, so how old was she when that show was on the air? So she would have been, what, 40?
I think she was in her mid-20s.
Well, that doesn't make it. When was the Mary Tyler Moore Show?
It began in 1961, I believe.
I had no idea it was that old.
She was born in 36, so she's, yeah.
She's my mom's age. Oh, my God.
Well, people can be your mom's age. She's not the only person who was born during that year.
I'm not supposed to lust after people who are the same age as my mother.
What do you want
to? Because that's just weird.
You have something to talk to you about.
I was just going
to
say, I'll write this down for John tonight. Hold on.
My mom was born in 1936 also.
Really?
Yeah. Really?
Mm-hmm.
Is she hot? I'm sorry. I'm sorry, that was over the line.
That was clearly over the line.
I'm only supposed to ask that about Aaron's mom. hold on, John. Mary Tyler Moore, same age as mother. So disturbing. Okay. All right, well, let's listen to this again and cringe in horror at the old lady voice, which has overtaken one of the hottest women who ever lived.
You know, while they were saying your names, introducing you, I just couldn't resist the urge to sing a chorus of Hail, Hail, the Gang's All Here.
My spectacles! All right, first of all, Scotty is taunting us on the screen by saying he just bought a nice chilled Vizo from the downstairs vendor. Damn you to hell, Scotty J.
Hmm.
And then he's also thought she looks good still. Mary said, Scotty, you may speak. Is Mary Tyler Moore, is she still attractive?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
I can't hear myself.
You might want to turn the mic down a
scotch. Make sure it doesn't go into the red, Scotty. Never broadcasting, Scotty.
There it is.
Scotty, turn down your microphone a little bit.
How's that $20,000 degree working out for you, Mr. Can't, can't modulate a microphone properly?
It's supposed to be between 85 and 105%.
Seriously. All right, where did you...
There you go.
I was told that it was being controlled from your side, so...
Okay.
Yes, well, you can't start out with it all the way up.
Yeah, seriously. Where did you see Mary Tyler Moore?
Last night on the E! Channel, they had a thing about the awards, so they were interviewing all the stars on the red carpet, and she was on the red carpet, and she looked great.
She said, did she still, I mean, on the classic 1 to 10 scale, where would you put her now? Because back in her day, she was, I mean, like a 9, 9.5. Where would you put her now?
Well, being that she's quite a bit older, I'd say maybe 6, 6.5 still.
6.5. That's the classic scale for an old woman, though. You'd say like a 9 still.
Well, sure, yeah. For an old woman, I don't know if she's had plastic surgery or what.
Well, she has that 1960s Mary Tyler Moore mask that she puts on.
She's wearing
kind of that's what it looks like.
Type of thing.
I think we said it all, but for the next Halloween party, we're all just going to go as ourselves. We're just going to get masks of each other and just wear that. Would you still consider her a woman you would make time with if given the opportunity, if Mrs. J would give the okay?
Well,
invite her to a Bruce game in suburbia on a Friday.
Have a bowl of
charades.
Have a bowl of hard candies.
Personally, I've never been into the older woman thing. I like younger, so I don't know if I could.
Scotty told me before he likes young Asian girls.
I'm sorry.
I didn't say that.
Yes, you did.
I did not say.
When did he? Okay. When did you? When did Scotty say?
Scotty and I have many times.
No, let's stop. I gotta take these one by one. I'm sorry, Tim. We'll get. Well, you know, you got your voice is a little raw today. Anyway, you probably welcome these diversions.
I do. Yes.
When?
Please continue.
Okay. In what context? There's so many questions. What could you possibly have been talking about that would have prompted Scotty to say that he likes young Asian girls? And when did this conversation take place?
It took place after he had said that, or maybe I'd pointed out some girl and asked if I thought he was cute because he said that he was going...
Was this a girl inside the building that we work with?
No, I think we were talking about like celebrities, and I was showing him a picture.
Right.
And then he said, no, I don't. That, she's not really my type. My type's more the small, like, Asian girls. And you said that, Scotty.
Okay. Now...
That was the old Scotty.
I don't understand. So back in your time, you were a young Asian
boy.
I was just going to say, you were a young Asian loving machine. Have you ever been with a young Asian girl?
No.
So your type is someone that you've never actually been able to be with.
Right.
Isn't that everybody?
Seriously. Well, how sad is that? I almost feel like we ought to rent one for you, like just to sort of see.
No, but
check it off your list.
Actually, I always thought, either Asian or from, Mexican.
You just want a woman who can't speak English. Why don't you just admit it? You want a woman who can't speak English and who you can have deported. You want a woman that you can put in a box and mail back to her family as soon as she starts, as soon as she learns how to read.
The funny part is, I've joked with my wife about that.
Uh-huh.
We've said things that I go,
yeah,
next, if there's ever a next time around, I'm going to have one that can't speak English, so then, she'll have to listen to everything I say. Silence. We have dead air. Are we on the air?
Oh, we're on the air. We're just deeply troubled. All right, there you go. Thank you. Note to self, future suburban perspective. All right, there you go. It's 503-733-2970. I wonder how Mrs. J feels about those jokes.
I wonder, does Mrs. J listen to the show? We need to have Mrs. J on.
Well, I got a phone. Oh, it doesn't actually dial out. Oh, he escapes the bullet for today. He dodges the bullet. I'm not able to call out on this phone. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
Okay.
Oh, some things never change. Microphone turned off.
I know, I can't turn on his button.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's go to A again, because we're all done with B.
Oh, wait, let me reload these here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, reloading, but you may want to do a story that doesn't have any sound while I
may want to do that?
Well, because it takes these cuts to N.I. Oh, and I just reloaded the wrong bank by mistake. Okay.
Well, let me tell you a funny story.
What you tell me a funny story that doesn't require me to punch punch any buttons or do anything.
All righty. Well, listen to this. Even though temperatures have fallen, the ice on many bodies of water is not thick enough to support vehicles.
A crew from a Milwaukee television station drove its news truck onto a channel at Lake Mucko Sunday and broke through the ice. Crews of WDGD-TV in Milwaukee were reportedly shooting a story about thin ice. Well, the truck broke through. They were just following the orders of their news directors. The driver apparently mistook the channel for a road when the accident occurred. The driver of the truck was the sole occupant and was able to get up without injury. However, there's still no story about thin ice.
Fantastic. Let's talk to Joe. Joe, you're on the Rick Emerson radio program. Hello, sir.
Hey, how you doing?
Joe, what's up, brother?
I don't know if you remember me. I brought you the Coca-Cola Black.
Yes, 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 we do. God bless you, sir. It was vile, but that's not your problem.
Sorry, it didn't work out. You didn't like it.
That's okay.
Let me also jar your memory. Do you remember at the listener party at the Tonic, and you just got up and made an announcement? I think it was right before Hog Whitman, and somebody handed you a bag of coffee.
At the Tonic? I think we may be thinking...
Yeah.
You might be thinking of something else. The Tonic
was... long time ago?
Yeah, the Tonic was my birthday.
That was a long, long time ago. You had a listener party there, and that's actually when Hog played, and...
Maybe.
I handed you a bag of coffee, because you're always whining about the coffee.
Having
good coffee.
Well, and please, and again, I don't wish to give the impression listeners don't make an impact, but one of the things, we get, a lot of people give us coffee, because we talk about it so much, so I would be lying, I would be misrepresenting myself if I said that I had, like, a real clear memory, because that was kind of a fuzzy night for me anyway, but, I apologize.
The bag was just taped shut, so you might have thought it was poison and thrown it away.
Well,
and I understand that.
There is this phrase in radio called listener food, and sometimes listener food is not necessarily consumed. What's up, Brian? What do you got?
Well, I work for a coffee company, and I can provide you with some coffee. If you don't like the coffee that you're getting, and if nobody's bringing you coffee, I will personally provide you with some coffee, and if you like it, you can buy it. And, I don't want to sit here and help my company. I'm just trying to help you out. If you want me to bring you some coffee, and if you like it, then I can provide that for you. And I can give you my number off the air, and we'll see what pans out.
I'm always so unclear about what we can do and what we can't. This whole company just lives in fear of doing anything that looks at you that even vaguely inappropriate. What I'll do, Joe, is this. I'm going to put you on hold. Scotty will get your information, and I don't know. We might give you a call later. It's always real sketchy in this company, what we can kind of take for free and what we can't. And you get the feeling that there's like a platoon of lawyers waiting to swoop down on us and kick us in the groin at any moment if we do something wrong. So I'm going to put you on hold. Scotty will get your information. Who knows? We might drop you a call about that. Yeah, he's gone. All right. There you go. Fantastic. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. These cuts are prepared, by the way.
All right. Well, I'll read one plain old story first. Thousands of people turned out to ride the tram for free. That's a new two-car thing that's hanging down by a laundry line over part of the city.
I saw it going this morning, by the way. I had to take Laura to work, and it was passing right over. And the thing just, I don't know, that thing looks simultaneously so futuristic and so, I don't know, retro at the same time. It does look like something that you would have seen at Disneyland mm-hmm. in 1963. Like one of those, ride the tram to Autopia, or whatever that car thing they used to have at Disneyland was.
Well, how soon before somebody joins the Mile High Club at one of these things? I bet teenagers that think about that right now. Over 10,000 people rode the tram over the weekend, and the only fatality? Somebody lost a shoe.
Okay.
Are we ready for it?
I'm ready. No, I'm prepared.
I'm trying to give you plenty of time here.
I have no. We are prepared. I have no. I have no response to that. And I'm not. You will know, by the way. CBS Radio does learn its lessons. This radio program is not going to encourage anyone to go have biblical relations inside the tram and then call us up and give us the blow-by-blow description of it. That's not going to happen.
I wonder if that already did.
This company's not going to be in the business of asking people to go have sex in public places anymore. That's not going to be a thing we do. Here's Tim Riley with news stories that will require sound, for which I, Rick Emerson, am prepared.
Do you know what the first song played on this new
studio was today, from this new studio was?
I do. It was Girl from Ipanema.
Right, at 10:24 a.m.
Oh, we should talk about that for a second.
Stan Getz.
Also, Tijuana Taxi. That was the other song played. Here's it. We should talk about that for a second. So we, and if you're just tuning into something, we have, today is our first day in the new studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. We're at the Rick Emerson Studios East over here on First Avenue. And so that happened on Saturday. As soon as the gymnasium was done on Saturday, like 6:01, Jeff McGinley was waiting outside with a pair of wire cutters and like a blowtorch. And as soon as Tim Savage was done, it's like he just kicked open the door and came in and just started snipping and cutting and rending and tearing and whatever. Anyway, they moved everything over here on Saturday night, and they had to take the station. Sort of, we couldn't get the satellite feed. I think it was John and Jeff we were supposed to carry in there or whatever. They couldn't get it for like an hour. Anyway, so they had to have something on the air for an hour from 10 p.m. to 11 p.m. on Saturday night. And so they just put in this great lounge CD. And I was actually driving in here to move some stuff. Let's, Sarah, who wants to point it out?
What? About the cough?
There's a cough. Like a $5 billion new studio. Now, if Tim, you will note, and I know the words, because we're not used to having these things.
I'm not used to coughing.
Here we do have a big button that says,
cough!
Cough.
And you press that, it mutes your microphone there.
All right. I'm looking forward to my next cough so I can try it.
Fantastic. Cough often and regularly, won't you? Anyway, so on Saturday, from like 10 to 11, they had to put something on the air, so they put on this lounge music CD. And so if you were listening to this station, this past Saturday at around 10:40, you would have heard Girl from Ipanema by Stan Getz, which is probably, and I got a whole bunch of like, why are you doing this, the bastards, and screw you, and a whole bunch of people. I really did consider, just for the briefest of moments, putting together a whole package of like Kiss and oldies, and just blame them, but I think that point has been made. I think there's no...
I think we should probably move forward.
Well, really, because pretty soon I'm just going
to
be...
Well, nobody's around to even listen to those anymore.
That's what I'm saying. I'm just going to be referencing...
They're long gone.
Referencing something doesn't even exist anymore. So really, what would be the point? All right, Tim Riley, I am... Yeah, that's the sound of preparation. I am prepared with these sound bites. Let's go.
All righty. Well, the president is warning Iran that any escalation of hostile activity will be met by a firm response. It's kind of like he's teasing them, because we expect to go in there at any moment now, even without permission. Well, White House spokesman Tony Snow cited some evidence, and you know how good their evidence is, some evidence against Iraq doing bad things.
Right now, what we are seeing is some evidence that the Iranians have been involved in activities that have led to the deaths of American soldiers and also the deaths of innocent Iraqi civilians. And to the extent that kind of activity continues, we will respond appropriately.
The evidence is a bottle of whiskey inside Tony Snow's briefcase. That's what it is. It's the same evidence that Joe McCarthy had. That's just a big bottle of Yukon Jack that he drew. A big bottle of absinthe that he drinks until he sees something that he can then report on at the press conference.
Meanwhile, Joe Lieberman is back on the scene today saying there was a serious omission in last week's State of the Union address.
I know that a lot of people in New Orleans and the Gulf Coast particularly were disappointed that President Bush did not speak of or mention Hurricane Katrina and the unfinished work in the State of the Union speech. I was surprised and disappointed by that as well.
Is it me, or is he actually getting droopier and slower? That's... his momentum is gone. Hey, Scotty J, pleased to be cracking the microphone, Scotty.
Red button, label my
Scotty. Scotty,
yes. Yeah, okay. Just takes me a second because I got to...
Turn down your microphone.
I guess he must have missed that semester.
For love of God.
I'm not joking with you. Like... I can control the volume over here, but if you have it all the way up, it doesn't
work.
Here's
the thing. You don't need to...
I'm not even...
Scotty.
I'm sorry.
Scotty.
Go ahead.
Here's the thing. You don't need to turn the fader, the pot, up and down. Just put it like halfway up or wherever it is, and then just turn it off and on.
Okay.
Thank you. You typed on the screen here. Now, I was to understand we were going to be talking to Lisa Goddard at 1.
Oh, okay. If that's the case, I will call her
she's
available.
Did we not say that earlier on in the program?
I don't believe we ever said it a specific time. We just said we'll call her back later.
I think I'm with Scotty J with this one.
I thought we were going to do it at the top of the 1 o'clock hour. That's what I've been teasing anyway.
Well, I can certainly call her back.
All right, because we're ready, because I have structured the show around breaking at here in a couple minutes and then coming back with Lisa Goddard at like 1:05. So if we can do that, that'd be fantastic.
Sure, I'll call her back.
All right, let's do one more here, and then we'll take a break. Here's Tim Riley.
All righty. Well, for those of you who like to do what you're supposed to do on this earth, make more babies, you'll be pleased to know that Portland is the third greatest place on earth to have one.
If you're here to breed like you should be.
So all you breeding stock, listen up to this. The magazine of Fit Pregnancy says the East Coast has, beaten the West Coast as the best place to have children, but don't give up on the West Coast either.
They have great hospitals and doctors, but they also offer a lot of different kinds of birthing options. Midwives, doulas, birthing centers, so women have a choice. Also, breastfeeding rates are really high in Boston, which is, of course, the best way to feed your baby.
Breastfeeding rates are high in Boston. It's like they're reporting on some sort of an outbreak or something. And this is what? Portland is something? It's a good place to...
Portland is the third greatest place to have babies.
All right.
So let's start making them.
The great thing about that is she uses the phrase birthing.
Breeding is worse.
Breeding is it? No, see, because birthing... With breeding, I just sort of think of like reproduction. It's just sort of a vague act. Birthing makes me think of pelvic strain. I don't want to think about that. We should note, by the way, this building that we're in now is sort of, it is like a bunch of catacombs. The building we're in now is sort of a labyrinth. It's a maze of hallways. Clyde Lewis apparently came in the front about 10 minutes ago and is wandering the hallways unable to find us. He's out there somewhere. No one knows where he is.
This is why we need Scotty J, because I have to stay here. I can't find him. I don't know where we'll find him during the break. Yeah, we should probably break if you want to do Lisa at 105.
Let's take a break here. We'll come back. Lisa Goddard, I believe, around the corner. Lisa's going to be calling us back. We'll take a few phone calls here. We'll talk to Clyde Lewis later on, CNN radio correspondent Jim Rue, Peter Carlin from the Oregonian, more from the Ministry of Truth with Tim Riley and the Suburban Perspective with Scotty J. Listen to the crispness and timbre of this microphone. We're here at the new Rick Emerson Studios of AM 970. Solid State Radio. Stay there.